And that can be seen that he's speaking to the Jews in verse 17, where he says in Romans 2:17, "Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God." And then in verse 27 and 28 also, he references the Jews here as those to whom he is writing here. And he says, "Therefore thou art inexcusable." And he's looking at what's following after here rather than what's going before in this "therefore." He says, "O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things." Now, the Jews were a typical people. It's something like Melchizedek. Melchizedek's greatest accomplishment was that he was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord Jesus Christ was a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, in that many of the things that pertain to the ministry of Jesus Christ were manifest first in Melchizedek as a type, and Christ being the antitype.
Right.
So the Jewish people were a type and were for a shadow of what we are. We look at the Jews and we think, wow, how could they do that? I mean, how could they see all those miracles and things down in Egypt, and how could they be delivered time after time after time and still go out a whoring after other gods? And yet we do the same things. We're guilty of the same things. We can't learn the lesson that God would have us learn. We have to learn them over and over. And I was thinking in that in that song there, or in what we read there, "Be watchful." What we have to be watchful for? One of the main things we have to be watchful for is idolatry in ourselves. In asking God to accept me based on something I've done. That's idolatry.
Yeah, it is.
If Christ finished everything, and he did, then there's nothing left for me to do. He said it's finished, and it was.
Yeah.
And if I think I can do something to recommend me to God, or to cause God to have mercy on me, or maintain my condition before God, if that's the God I serve that will accept what I do, I'm an idolater.
Yeah.
Because he won't accept anything I do. My very best is filth in his sight. It might be all right in my sight, but it's filthy rags in his sight. And he will not accept it. It must be perfect to be accepted. And there was one man that ever walked on this earth that lived perfectly before God and fulfilled the law to its jot and tittle, both in its precept and its penalty, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. And when he walked on this earth in a official capacity as the mediator of the everlasting covenant, everyone whom the Father gave him before the foundation of the earth walked in him.
Amen.
He did representatively. He represented us to God. He fulfilled the law in our room instead. And he died under the penalty of the law in our room instead.
Amen.
And he delivered us.
Mm-hmm.
Past tense.
Yeah.
He delivered us from the wrath to come. He saved us without our help, without our contribution. And if we think we can make any contribution or help in any way, we turn ourselves into idolaters and we commit idolatry. We do not serve a Christ that needs our help. He doesn't need us, because everything that had to be done, He did Himself. So we have to watch ourselves. Be watchful. Rest. Rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the Living God. And don't try to mingle your works in with His. Because if you put anything at all from yourself in there, you've mingled sin in it. Because that's all we are.
Yeah.
We're just sin.
Yeah.
Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death."
Amen.
"Thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art, that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same things." Turn over to chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that is under the law. And the purpose of God saying anything to us through the law is that every mouth may be stopped. Shut our mouth about trying to justify ourselves by any good thing that we have done to justify us before God, or to bring us in not guilty before God, or to mitigate or to do away with our guilt. The only one that can do that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and He did it by becoming guilty under the law of God in our room instead. And he became guilty by God imputing our sin to Him. "And all the world may become," that all the world may become guilty before God. Now that was the purpose of the law. "Therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. Now he said to those Jews, he said, he was not speaking against the Gentiles or against the Jews, because they had judged people of other religions as lost persons, but he judged them because they did the same things while he condemned the Jews. And he said to them, in condemning them, you condemn yourself, because you do the same things. verse 22, Matthew 5:22. "Ye have heard that it was said to them of old time, thou shalt not kill. But whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, or thou empty-headed fellow, thou worthless fool, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." So the Jews did the same thing. They committed murder in their heart. Look down at verse 27. "Ye have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever shall look upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. Sin is committed in the heart and it comes forth in the action. Sin's first inward, and then it manifests itself in actions of sin. Verse 2. Romans 2:2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that commit such things. We're sure that God is going to judge not according to the outward appearance of things, but according to truth. God is going to judge according to truth. Ezekiel 18:4 says, all souls are mine, saith the Lord, as the soul of the Father, so with the Son. And the soul that sinneth shall surely die. And he said in Exodus 34:7, he said, the Lord will not at all acquit the guilty. He just won't do it. He will not acquit the guilty. Yeah. Well, are we guilty? Well, ask yourself this. Why was Christ Jesus nailed to a tree? Because he bore the sin of all of God's elect of all ages. All of them were made to meet on him. Look at Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. Isaiah 53, 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. Well, who's that we? Well, that's all of God's people. All of his elect. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. God had caused to meet on the head of our Lord Jesus Christ all of the sins of all of his people of all ages, and Christ Jesus bore those sins in his body on the tree and put them away forever. Look at verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. Whose people? The Lord's people. Why are they the Lord's people? Because he loved them from everlasting. Yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, by loving kindness have I drawn thee. What is that draw? He gives them life. And causes them to believe the gospel. And they repent from their old religion that said you got to do this. It's up to you. They repent of that. They change their mind about that. They say that's a sham religion. That's false. It's a lie. They say Christ did it all. And my hope is built on him and him alone.
Amen.
Me having nothing to do with it. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So Christ was nailed to that cross because of iniquity, which was laid to his charge, was charged to him, was imputed to him. And whose iniquity was imputed to him? Those for whom he is the surety of the New Testament. Yeah. Who's that? That's those that the Father elected in the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world, whom he had loved with an everlasting love and gave to his Son. Look at John 17. John 17. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. They were given in the covenant of grace in old eternity. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What world is that? It's not the world of the ungodly. That he drowned in 2 Peter 2:5. And it's not that world that is of the wicked one. It's the world of his elect. Those, that world that John the Baptist said, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. What world? The world of his elect. It's that world that was given to Christ, all every believer of all ages. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Look down at verse 6. I have manifest thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. He gave some men out of the world. And brother, we can be thankful if we're some of those men. Amen. Amen. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Look down at verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come unto thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one. Verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for all them that shall believe on me through their word. Who's that? That's us. That's us today who believe through their word. We read the scriptures, the Holy Spirit enlightens us to the meaning of the scripture, and we find out that we are of that group that was given to Christ in eternity past. Look at verse 23 and 24. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovedest me before the foundation of the world. Yea, I have loved you, he says, with an everlasting love. I loved you. It is a particular discriminating love that leads to a particular discriminating election of grace and a particular discriminating predestination unto the adoption of children and to conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. Amen. It is a particular salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save particular persons by a particular redemption. Look at now again and again you'll find it written that the man that doeth these things shall live in them. It's not he that reads the law, but he that doeth the law. Well, when did we ever do the law? We did it in our representative head. Our Lord Jesus Christ kept the law perfectly in its precept and penalty to the jot and tittle, and we did it in Him through union that God ordained before the foundation of the world that we have with Jesus Christ. God, He loved us as He loved Him because we were in Him.
Yeah.
Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 3 through 5. Ephesians 1, 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. It's finished. God hath blessed us. When did He bless us? In eternity past. Who hath blessed us? What did He bless us with? With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in the heavenlies, in Christ. What do we have? Everything. All that God requires. Our Lord Jesus Christ finished everything that God requires to bring us to glory. He did it all. He left nothing to us. And he goes on here in verse 4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved.
Amen.
When were we accepted? In Christ in eternity past.
Yeah.
When we were chosen Him, we were accepted in the Beloved. And then we fail. But look at verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood. When was that redemption ordained and when was it accomplished? It was ordained in the time when Christ, when we were chosen in Christ, and it was accomplished at the same time in the mind and will and counsel of God. Look at Revelation 13:8. It says, Revelation 13:8, let's read it. In 5:6, he said, Christ stood as a lamb that had been slain. And in 13:8, it said, and all they that dwell upon the earth dwellers, they who are of the flesh, fleshly, who know not God, shall worship Him, that is the first beast there, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was finished in the mind and will and purpose of God in old eternity.
Amen.
It was done.
Yes. Amen.
Now it actually comes to pass in time. But God looked at it as done. He declares the end from the beginning.
Yeah.
What kind of an architect doesn't sit down and draw up his plan for the building in every minute detail before he begins to build it?
Yeah.
Well, God did that in the book of His decrees.
Yeah.
He said, this is what's going to happen. This is every minute detail that I'm going to bring to pass. Nothing's by accident. It's according to His decree. He did that in old eternity. Before He ever created the first thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
When God was God dwelling alone in His sovereignty, He finished everything. He doesn't need anything from us.
No.
He just makes us the objects of His grace and love.
Yeah.
All right, let's go on. But we are sure that the judgment of God shall be according to the truth against them that commit such things. Well, we never committed anything like that. How's that? What are you talking about? Christ Jesus stood as my surety before the foundation of the world, and in the reckoning of God, I'm not guilty. Because my guilt has already been borne by Him and put away by Him. Look at 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 22. Who did no sin, that's speaking of Christ, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself unto them that judgeth righteously, who his own self, our Lord Jesus Christ, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed.
Amen. Amen.
God saved us because He wanted to.
Amen.
That He might dwell among us. Verse 3. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them that do such things, that doest the same things, the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? The Jews, depending on their relationship to Abraham, their having the law committed to them, unto them were committed the oracles of God. They looked to the pomp and ceremony of the law, the temple, all of their advantages. They looked to those things, which were all to show them Christ, but they missed Christ.
Yeah.
They missed Him. Or despisest thou the riches of the goodness and forbearance of God? God's goodness to them was all the advantages that He gave them. His the land of Canaan. His teaching them the oracles of the law and all of those things, and giving them the priest to teach them the law. His forbearance is His, when they sinned against God, He didn't punish them immediately. He didn't cut them off. And so they became emboldened in their idolatry and various things. But that goodness and forbearance of God should have led them to repent. And long suffering, His long suffering is the extent of His forbearance. He bare with their iniquities and their sins long. Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Now there's a legal repentance that's unto death. When the natural conscience gnaws at you, and you think that your prayers or your giving or something that you do will bring you close to God and cause Him to forgive you of your sin, that's legal repentance. It's looking to self. True repentance is a broken heart looking at what you are yourself.
Yeah.
A realization that we can't do it.
Yeah.
that it just doesn't lie within us to live perfectly before God, and so we turn to Christ. Of course, that's the operation of the Holy Spirit. He has to give us repentance, and faith is the gift of God. When you believe Christ, that He's all, you naturally repent. You turn from everything. You turn from your former idolatry, trusting self, and you trust Christ alone. You reject self. You reject your works. You reject your law keeping. You reject your ability to please God. You know it's all a lie. And you turn to Christ for all salvation. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Well, it's not according to works, so what? Well, works show the condition of your heart. If your faith's not right, your works will be dead. They'll be dead works. Dead works proceed from a dead heart. And they lead to death. Dead works are works that are done for justification's sake. Something that you do trying to recommend yourself to God. That's a dead work. Good works come from a heart of love. Look at James. Let's see, I've got a note on this somewhere. Look at James chapter 2, I think it is. James chapter 2. Verse 20. James chapter 2, verse 20. You'll give every man according as his work shall be. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And he says down here in verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou then how faith wrought with works, and by works faith was made perfect? Faith was manifested to be perfect. The works of Abraham showed that his faith was justifying faith. And verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So in the judgment, our works are going to be looked at to verify whether or not our faith is right. James, in another place, he says, show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. So true faith is manifest by good works. For we are created unto good works, which God hath before done unto them. Now, how's that going to work? Are we going to be going along and say, well, I'll do this good work, in order to justify myself, in order to show God that I'm just, no, that's a dead work. It just flows out of the heart. Look at Romans chapter 13. It's not a slavish obedience to a principle. It is something that flows out of the heart that comes by the new nature. Look at Romans 13. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. So faith, true justifying faith, worketh by love. Love won't do any damage to your neighbor. It won't be a blessing to him. So it's a principle, it's from a principle of grace in the heart. Everywhere you look at the judgment, God's going to look at our works to see what our works shall be. We're going to be rewarded according to our works. But our works show forth what kind of faith we had. Was it a faith that worketh by love? Or was it a legal faith trying to recommend ourselves to God or put another star in our crown? And you know, people believe that. Well, I'll do this, that'll give me a better standing, that'll put another star in my crown, that'll make me shine a little brighter in heaven. No. We're going to be there by grace and grace alone, and the reward is Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's not the stars in our crown. Everything that we have by the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Verse 6, who will reward every man according to his work shall be to them that by patience. Now look at this. Look at verse 7 through 11. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek glory, honor, immortality, and eternal life. But to them who are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness and indignation and wrath. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God. Now, what we do from a principle of grace in our heart. We do by that love that we have in our heart, which is shined in our heart by the S-U-N of righteousness, by the Son of righteousness. He shines in our heart. Look at chapter 5. Let's see, chapter 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Mm. That's not what I was looking for. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being now reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. But I'm looking for that place where it said God, he has shined in our heart to give. Oh, that's 2 Corinthians 4:6. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 4:6. Let me find it here. Second Corinthians 4:6. I look at verse. Let's begin reading at. Let's begin reading at verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And this gospel is hid to the biggest part of this world. This gospel is despised by the biggest part of this world because it doesn't let them be their own sovereign. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. But we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God shines in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, look at, I want to look at two more scriptures. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. Now, what are the commandments that we're to keep? Well, here they are. John 3:23. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. He's our whole salvation. We don't add anything. Nothing can be taken away. He himself is our perfect righteousness. Our perfect righteousness is seated at the right hand of God this morning. He's our perfect holiness. And we are perfect in him. And this is his commandment, that you believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Can you generate that love in yourself? No, you can't do that. It's the gift of God. He has to shine in your heart and place that love there. Now, look at 4:17. 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may obtain boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. As Jesus Christ is in glory right now. He's my representative. So am I. Looked on, as God looks upon me in this world, he sees me in his Son in all of his absolute perfections. By one offering, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. I don't think we'll ever get over this salvation. I hope we never do. God hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. What did he do? He caused us to lay down all our war axes. And come to him in peace and love. We love him because he first loved us. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation. He's the satisfaction of God's law and justice. Yeah.